and gentlemen, welcome to the April 17th edition of the Hughes Sports Podcast. I am, of course, your host, Jake Hughes, alongside the old man. Old man, how the hell are you doing today?
How can I not be fabulous? I almost swore again, Jake. I should watch that, right? We're not supposed to swear. I'm fabulous. How can you not be fabulous? We're both wearing our Canuck hoodies. We're twins.
The Canucks announced.
Canucks have locked up the Pacific Division already.
Now, this might be controversial, and this might be something I want to bring our guest in before I introduce him, though. But is it proper to call them your Pacific Division champions?
Hell yeah!
Some people seem to have a lot of issue with it.
Oh, bite me. Bunch of whining babies. They're all haters. It's going back to 2011 when everybody hated us.
No. Before we get down this Canucks wormhole that we will, we do have a very special guest on
Super
tonight.
Super special.
Would you like to introduce him? Because I have to cough here.
Fine. Throw it at me when I'm not ready. We have a good friend of the show's and a very good friend of mine, the co-host of the Rod Peterson Show, which is a daily sports talk show that you can watch on Game Plus Television Network and, of course, YouTube and all your podcasts. Darren DuPont, how are you, buddy?
Good evening, fellas. I got to say, Kev, like the whoever your illustrator was for the graphic, makes you look good, man, on the cartoon.
I'm the young guy there, right?
Well, doesn't matter who you are. You look good.
Jake did all of that, by the way. He surprised me one day, and he made up that logo. He's done all the graphics. Kid's talented.
So it's really a one-man show here with the old man.
It looks good, man. It looks good. You guys have made some improvements, some renos since I've been on last, so it's good.
Just a tad, always,
always got to be improving and making things new. How are you doing, Darren?
I'm doing great. Doing great. You mentioned the Pacific Division champions. Are you saying that a lot of people think you got to win that in the playoffs?
No, people
can't really.
People on Twitter are like, no, you're not champions. You've won the Pacific Division. What did someone say? The pennant. You won the Pacific Division pennant.
You're gonna hang a banner,
but they can't. They don't say champion because in North American sports, if you don't win the playoffs, you're not a champion. Yeah. You win the President's Trophy. The New York Rangers won the President's Trophy, but they are not the champions. Well, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah,
they're the league champions. They won the regular season.
But no one refers to them as that.
True. But I don't care. I'm referring to us. We don't get this word very often. And so, I'm getting up there in age. So anytime I can put the Vancouver Canucks and the word champion together, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So Darren, you deal with this you deal with us irrational fans on a daily basis. And if people are wondering where we got irrational fans, it was actually the host of the Rod Peterson Show, Rod Peterson, that gave me that title. We ran with it. It was like, I love that. Do you still get excited as we do for the playoffs?
You know what? It's a great question. Yes, it's a little different. And it also, it takes... it takes me more to get excited. Like I have to go through a process now to get excited to watch hockey. So like if I want to settle in and, you know, watch a hockey game, first of all, it's hard for me to watch any game and not have a rooting interest.
Right.
You know, so I don't, everybody says you're unbiased. I don't think you ever completely are. I think we all have a rooting interest somewhere. Otherwise you can't watch the game. Yeah. I think that's really difficult, but you know, I kind of got to go through a process. I kind of got to build up some storylines in my head. I got to get myself into it. I got to check it at the door. So I really reserve that for kind of my teams. I can really, you know, hockey, it's harder. We talk more hockey in the show. We don't talk much NFL.
Right.
So it's a lot easier for me to be irrational about the Tennessee Titans and just get into the, you know, put on a jersey, be a fan, and, you know, park all my broadcasting at the door and just be a fan. It's awesome. Right. Harder to do it in hockey when we're talking about it every day. But you know what? Come playoff time, I'll absolutely do it. It just, all the things that go along with it, you know, pregame, you know, wearing your jersey all day, talking to other fans, going through that. And then the post-game emotions, I find now with hockey and talking about it, I got to park those a lot earlier, which kind of sucks, you know, because part of being a fan is being miserable when your team loses and being excited, you know, before the game. So I do have to park that a lot and kind of game's over. I got to kind of, you know, 30 minutes, I got to move on.
Yeah.
Because I need to now evaluate the next game and I got to talk about it on the air. You know, you see on the air, I talk about it so level-headedly.
Well,
but
yeah.
I'm not when I'm watching the games, obviously. Like nobody is. So it's a balance.
Now, who are your teams? Who are your hockey teams?
The Leafs were always my team growing up. And the Canucks are actually my second team. I don't know if you knew that.
I did know that. You I was waiting for it.
My first ever game was a Canucks game.
Was it?
It was in the playoffs. I believe it was, I want to say the 07 or 8 playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Whatever year they played Dallas in the playoffs. Oh, and we went, I was down in Vancouver, went to my first ever NHL game, never went to a game as a kid, never went to a game until I went down to Vancouver and randomly wasn't even planning to go to the game. Just on a vacation, little sightseeing tour, visiting some family, got tickets from a scalper, went to the game. It went to, I think, 4 overtimes.
Oh, yeah.
Against Dallas. Canucks won. I got a rally towel that says "We are all Canucks." It was on my seat, riding the SkyTrain with everybody.
Nice.
It's unreal. So because of that, you kind of always have that Canucks fandom. There you go. You got the one for the that's this year's, isn't it?
No, it's 2020.
Oh, All In is this year. All In.
All In.
All In is this year. Yes.
But it was great. So then, kind of the Canucks became kind of my West team. But I've also through the Joe Thornton, Marlowe, Pavelski, I became a real big Sharks fan, actually, too. I thought, I really wish they had gotten over the hump. So that's my hockey teams, anyway.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's why I knew it was Canucks, and I'm like, I think it's Toronto as well. Yes, Henrik Sedin did score the overtime winner. That's my nephew.
Yeah.
He knows. He's like, you want to talk about irrational fan. That is the most irrational fan you've ever met in your life.
He puts us to shame.
That's the one.
Yes. Awesome. So now, have we seen a year that has come down to literally the last game of the year in almost, well, in both East and West, it seems?
Pretty wild. Like the West, for the most part, was kind of been locked up for a little bit, except some positioning. We didn't know any of the matchups till kind of tonight.
Yeah.
And we still, to be fair, if Dallas doesn't win this game or get a point in this game that they're playing right now, it's still up in the air until tomorrow.
I know. So that's kind of crazy. Now in the East, that race that we've seen the last couple of nights for the final playoff spot has been so much fun. And what Detroit did to keep, you know, their playoff hopes alive and, you know, Philly and Washington coming down to the end there at the empty net goal. It's been a really fun season.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've talked about it on the show, but how does John Tortorella not know the game situation? How does he not have someone in his ear? They're all wearing, or someone down there will have an earpiece.
But why?
Because
my point is, you know, why do you need somebody in your ear? Why do you even need to know what's going on around the league? Because if you're John Tortorella, what's your MO here? You know what, guys, make sure you let me know the second we don't have a chance so I can be a nice guy to the Detroit Red Wings. Hey, make sure you're watching that other game so I can be a nice guy to the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, he doesn't care about those teams. His only MO all night was we have to win in regulation. Yes. And we need some things to go our way, but we have to win in regulation. So we're going to win in regulation, and then we're going to check the scores and realize we did it for nothing or he wants his guys engaged. It's their last game of the season. He wants them to go down fighting. Winning that game in overtime doesn't give them any sort of sentimental nothing. So I don't think he's looking at the iPad or radioing in or or listen to the radio broadcast or none of that stuff. I don't think he cares.
And if we turn the outcome and they actually win and they make it,
everyone's applauding John Tortorella for that move if that happens.
He's a genius, right?
Well, we knew it was coming because everybody talked. We were talking about it pregame. The pregame shows were talking about it. What happens if they're tied? He's going to pull the goalie. Now, you'll argue if he pulled the goalie too early. There was 3 minutes left when the goal went in and all the rest. But he was going to pull the goalie in a tie game. There was also the early whistle, which pulled a potential goal back off the board for Philly. There was a lot of factors in that game.
I'm still working. There's another podcast out there called Scouting the Refs. It's a podcast and website. I'm still trying to get them on the show to help explain that one because I officiate amateur football. If you lose the ball and you don't know what's happened and you think there might be a fumble, you don't blow the whistle until you see the football. Then you blow it dead and have a conversation.
It's such a fine line. You're right, because you lose sight of the puck. You want to keep the play going if that puck's still alive. But if you lose sight of that puck and it's covered and you don't blow it dead, then all of a sudden things can get out of hand physically pretty quickly.
If and you that let puck could come loose.
The goalie and all the rest. It's such a fine line. And you could see the look on his face that he's like, I think I effed this up. Like,
yeah,
I might have, you know, and you feel bad, but it happens.
Oh, they're human. Like, the refs are human. We get that. It's just.
Yeah.
But I hope there's accountability.
The you know, on a potential turnover or whatever, you'd rather let it happen so that you can review it rather than blow it dead and eliminate all chance of getting that call right.
Exactly. 100%. Go ahead, Jake. You had something.
I was just going to say, we have officially somehow, I was looking, they announced, the NHL officially announced the Eastern games. They have not announced the Western games. So what we were talking about before the show went live here is technically a scoop of some sort because the Canucks have posted seats for sale for April 21st,
which is meaning
the Canucks will play despite all the rumors and confusion. No matter who they're playing, they will be playing Sunday, April 21st. We don't know what time. We don't know.
Oh, if they're playing in the afternoon, I'm going to lose my nut. I work Sunday. That's why. I'm just saying.
I'd be shocked if they didn't have it as the late evening game, like a 6 o'clock start.
That's, yeah. You know,
6 o'clock start for Mountain Time.
It better be.
Yeah, you always get the late game when it's Vancouver. So you're lucky in that regard. You know, Vancouver's an interesting... We were talking about this on the show one day about what's the best sports market in terms of time zone. And we all kind of agree that you guys are probably in it in the Mountain Time Zone.
Yeah.
That's kind of the best of both worlds. Like, out here, everything's on really late.
Yes.
You know, if we want to watch a game on the West Coast, they're just starting and it's after 10 o'clock, you know, in the Eastern time zone. But on the West Coast, you can watch you start at 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and by 10 o'clock you're watching Netflix, and by 11 you're going to bed. Like, it's, you get it all jammed in, right? Yep. You leave work early, you watch games during happy hour, the next one during dinner, and then you can wind down. Here, you got to do all your stuff before because the games don't start till 7 and then at 10. And then, so maybe the Mountain Zone's the best, but.
Well, yeah, because a lot of your games, I mean, especially if or when Toronto makes it deep in the playoffs, you're going to be up past midnight when they're playing a Western team on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It's not going to be fun.
It's tough, that's for sure. It's good for a night owl like me, but...
Well, yeah. I mean, your show doesn't start till noon your time, so...
Oh, yeah, so I can sleep in. That's not a problem. But yeah. Somebody like Rod, who likes to go to bed at 9:30, hard to watch a lot of sports.
Exactly. It's quite often you watch him, and you can tell he's just read the highlights because that game didn't start till 10, and he's no way not staying up past 10 o'clock.
And he self-admitted to that.
Oh, you know? Yes. I'm not telling secrets out of school. Exactly. No.
Go ahead. One other thing that I want to talk about before we get into kind of the previewing the NHL playoffs and getting everyone's picks here. It is 100% confirmed that Arizona is moving to Utah. The owner today, yeah. I don't know if you saw this, Darren, but was at a conference of some sort. And when asked by reporters, said, sometimes you can't believe everything you read on the internet. However, this time it is true. What do you think of the whole way the NHL's handled it and everything that's gone on with poor Arizona?
It's happened really fast in these last, you know, week or two, that's for sure. But it's, I don't know, like you feel for the fans in the desert on the one hand, you know, and I don't put any of this on the hockey fans in Arizona. You know, I still think that Arizona has such an opportunity to be a cool hockey market because you look at where hockey's trending now and it's becoming such a fun sport, you know, with the stick skills, the puck skills, you know, look at the Spitting Chicklets guys, how they've integrated what they've done, but golf and they all live out in the desert. A lot of former guys like to go there. They spend their holidays in Scottsdale. It's become a real place. Austin yeah. Matthews now from there. They're starting to develop the area. And I think if they could ever get some stars to play there,
yes.
I thought the best thing would have been if they could have got Connor Bedard in the draft, if they could have won the lottery. You look at their history, 30 years or whatever it's been, Keith Tkachuk, who I think came from in the Winnipeg transition. They had Jeremy Roenick played a few seasons there, but he played there for a bit. And Shane Doan is kind of the lifeblood of the whole organization.
Yeah.
And then Wayne Gretzky coached there for a few years. That's the extent of the star power and your history of the team in terms of stars. Some good players played there, sure. But that's the extent of your Legends Row and all the rest. And not even all of them were attributed right to Arizona and made their name in Arizona. Jeremy Roenick didn't make his name in Arizona. Shane Doan did. Keith Tkachuk, sure. But he kind of started out in Winnipeg. In their 30-year history, they won two playoff series. And it was in the same season.
That's wild. I mean,
it's not even like they had an opportunity to see what it would be like if they had a winning team, any sort of success, you know, star players, you know, things like that. I think you get that. I think it could have been a really great free agent destination, a place players wanted to play, if you could start to build that. But no rink, you know. There was still another year left on their agreement to play at Mullet Arena, but that's not going to happen. So for those reasons, I don't think the NHL has given up on Arizona. I really don't. I think they'll instantly become a place they want to bring hockey back to. But I don't know. Something has to change where you get better hockey people, the ownership. I'm not sure what the magic formula is, but nothing can happen unless they put a team on the ice.
Now, do you put a lot of that blame on ownership?
I mean, sure. Ownership, for sure. That's where it begins and ends, right?
Yeah.
They don't really get the credit, but they got to take the blame. You know, whether it's at the right time, funding, money, you know, the ownership is responsible for making sure that you've got dollars to attract free agents, that you have an arena to play in. You know, if the owner can't get the arena deal done, you know, it's really tough to have a team there. So, you know, you're going to go into this, you know, mode right now of, what is it, 5 years to get an arena done?
Yeah.
So he's got 5 years. Now we'll find out if the city's serious. If Tempe or Phoenix or Scottsdale or wherever, Mesa, wherever, is serious about getting an arena done and having the team come back, then they'll make this happen. He'll win the land bid. He'll get some support. They'll build the arena. And then the Coyotes will come back because he still is going to retain the name to bring the Coyotes back. Now, if it's an expansion, if it's just returning that franchise back, and then Salt Lake City gets the expansion, I'm sure that still is stuff that will get worked out. But I don't know. Some people are not very hopeful that he's even going to pursue the arena.
Well,
and at the same time, I like to remain optimistic.
Will the league actually look for a new owner?
That's the rumblings, as I've heard, is that 5 years is a quick turnaround for someone who lost a team, build a new arena, have all these conditions met.
But right.
Is that a way for Gary Bettman to say, please don't sue us, so here's all these conditions.
Yeah.
If you don't meet them, we're going to go find a new owner in Arizona who's got the connections, got the money, and is willing to spend on a team.
What's Jim Balzerly doing? I joke. He's not coming anywhere near the National Hockey League. But, you know, 5 years. So this was all contingent on him winning this land bid in June. Yeah. But we'll find out pretty fast. He wins the bid and then starts, like, he needs to get shovels in the ground.
Yes.
And that arena needs to be built. And then that team can potentially come back. But they're not awarding him back until there's shovels in the ground. Winning the bid will be like, look, I've won the bid. Give me my team back. So it's going to be a little bit of a longer process. Look, Arizona had some flashes this year. Got some decent young players.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Could be interesting.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see, because the owner, when he brought the Jazz from New Orleans up into Utah, he went from the Jazz went from like a bottom 20 team in the NBA in spending to a top 10 team in spending literally overnight.
Wow.
So the Coyotes, looking at their cap friendly, they have about $40 million in cap space. And on top of that, a lot of draft capital. So you could see an offseason here where you only have 6 months to build hype around your team. Let's go get all these free agents whose money is bad or just big names.
Yeah.
Why not?
You absolutely could. It'll be interesting to follow and see how successful it is in Salt Lake for hockey. And, you know, not a notoriously big sports city, but they've had some history and some success with the Jazz.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like the idea. Keep it small. Hockey could have a big presence there. It's a winter city, the mountains, the whole deal. You know, those Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City are my favorite hockey memory of my entire life.
Yes.
It's those 02 Olympics. So there's a lot of good things, you know, and sometimes in a market like that, I know a lot of people, here you go. Here you go. A lot of people will say, you know, Salt Lake City. I don't remember anything about Salt Lake City. There's nothing special about Salt Lake City. Well, great. Now the one thing that is special is the hockey team and the basketball team.
Yeah.
So it's great that there's nothing else to do there. We'll go watch hockey all winter.
Exactly.
Let's go. See, I'm way older than both you. And when you guys were talking about bringing in big stars, I think back to LA when they made their big move and bought Gretzky, and literally bought Gretzky. And look what happened. I mean, it took off. It was the place to be. Why? Yeah. Because they spent the money and brought in a star. He's got $40 million.
You know, everybody made the jokes about Florida, 7,000 people or less. We can't put anybody in the building. Now they're winning. They're selling out the building during the regular season. It's not just on playoff runs. They're good. Yeah. And they have some star players, you know, that are playing there. You know, Matthew Tkachuk has transformed that team along with Barkov and some of the other stars that they have. So,
Literally the dream matchup in the playoffs for both franchises, the Battle of Florida. You couldn't ask for a better first round to get some excitement happening.
Of course, this is going to be great. You know, the only you look at the East, you're going to get Florida and Tampa. Awesome. You're going to get Toronto and Boston. Awesome. The only thing you're not getting is New York and New York.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome. But they're, you know,
even their last game of the regular season that they played against each other was playoff intensity.
Yeah.
So,
well, there's an opportunity for the two New Yorks to maybe meet in round two, depending on what Carolina and New York does. But I think it's just tremendously exciting. I think there's going to be some really great matchups. And then in the West, you know, as they continue to sort that out, that's going to be fun no matter what. You know, it's going to be
awesome. The only downside as a Canucks fan is 4.5 hours of travel if it's Nashville.
I mean, but it's still Nashville. It's still a great city to travel to.
It could be worse.
I was saying, and
good point to Winnipeg.
The Nashville, The Nashville atmosphere is fantastic. Like, they put on a playoff show.
Oh, yeah.
So it's no matter what, the atmosphere is going to be great. It's just the travel that sucks.
Yeah.
For the Canucks. For any team that's going to Nashville.
But that's the Western Division. I mean, you're going to travel.
It's so spread out.
Part of our geography, unfortunately. But let's get to some playoff brackets. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, hit me with some matchups and I'll give you what I think.
Let's start the East.
Funny because I just got invited to a bracket challenge and I need to fill it out tomorrow. So this will be
which bracket challenge would that be? Which bracket challenge did you get invited to?
Just a family one, just with one of my buddies.
Actually, one of my cousins got invited to another one.
What's that?
You got invited to another one.
Okay. I got to check which inbox is it in?
It's in your text messages.
Oh, well, I will get on it.
You can win a hoodie with this logo on it. We'll talk about that later, fans. Okay.
I think right now we should talk about it right now.
Okay, talk about
it. In the description, on Twitter, Facebook, everywhere we post this, you will see a link. That link is the invite link into the Hughes Sports Podcast 2024 first annual NHL playoff bracket. Because the first year is the inaugural. This is the first annual. I'm sticking by that because that's how the words work.
Let's go.
We have last year's champion has already signed up. DJ is in. He's ready to defend his title. He's got his hoodie. So you, the winner, will get a guest appearance on the show.
Ooh.
As well as a brand new hoodie with the Hughes Sports Podcast.
All right.
Logo.
With me over on this side, you can't see my mouse, but I'm on, if you're looking at the screen, I'm on the right side. Jake is that gray old guy in the left.
You know what? I'm just going to let him have that and let him think it's true because I don't want to break his heart.
Come on. Okay.
Let's start in the Eastern Conference where we have the New York Islanders taking on the Carolina Hurricanes.
I think the Hurricanes are going to win this in five games. And
wow.
Islanders Hurricanes, I think the Islanders will win a game because of Matthew Barzal and Patrick Roy.
Hmm. So we're going to start out. Would that be an upset? Would that be considered an upset?
No, the Hurricanes are a real Stanley Cup contender this year.
Okay.
I'm gonna say the Islanders are actually gonna be able to grind. I always find Carolina doesn't have the grindability in the playoffs. I'm gonna say that Carolina takes it in six.
Okay.
And in just one of those games, the Islanders are just able to put bodies into people and take Carolina off their game.
Yeah.
God, I don't want to agree with you two. I'm gonna go way out. I think this is the Islanders. I think the Islanders in six.
I like it. Bold.
Bold.
And then we have the Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Boston Bruins.
Can
the
I just say,
matchup. The matchup can, that was written in the stars.
Can I just say I'm excited for this series?
Why?
It just takes me way back to when I was a kid. And I can actually smell hot dogs while I'm thinking of it because Saturday night, we always, in our family, was hot dog night. We always had hot dogs for dinner and we would sit and watch hockey. So anytime I hear the old Hockey Night in Canada theme song, I would smell hot dogs. And I'm actually smelling them right now. That's I need cool. a hot dog. And how often would you watch the Leafs and Bruins play? Quite a bit.
Yeah. Unreal.
Yeah. So
I'm going to go Boston in seven.
Wow.
So again, I'm doing this as a, you know, what I would actually bet my money on. And okay. until Toronto can beat Boston, it's been twice now. You know, I think Toronto will push them right to the edge. I think Boston wins in seven. But I also think this is exactly what Toronto needs. You know, when you have a problem, when you have an, you know, think of any, you know, evil villain, whatever you want to call it, you can't go around them and skip that level to get to your next destination. You got to go through them.
Yes.
The only way to win a Stanley Cup is to go through them. So when they avoided Boston last year, I thought that was a mistake. Not that they had a choice, but yeah. They were all saying, we want Florida. I thought that was a huge mistake.
Yep.
Now it bit them. Karma bit them.
Big time.
You got to go through them. You got to face it head on. So I think they'll face them head on, but I think Boston wins in seven. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, he says. If that happens, if Toronto goes out in the first round, is there big, massive changes in Toronto?
I don't know about massive changes, but there could be a head coaching change if they win the first round.
I think Toronto is finally going to slay the demon. And I hope it's as dramatic as when the Canucks did it to Chicago.
Yeah.
In like an overtime game, something. I think it's time. It's been a few years that Toronto just keeps hitting Boston, but it's got to break eventually. I'm taking Toronto.
Nice.
I hate when the kid steals my thunder, because that's literally what I was going to say is I'm thinking it's going to be Toronto, and I damn well hope it's game seven, four overtime periods, puck comes off the stanchion. Okay. Nobody knows where the puck is.
You want me to have a coronary for four overtime periods?
That would not be good.
It'll never be quite as bad as that Tampa Bay game in 2020 in the bubble when it went to, like, I think seven overtimes.
Was it that long?
It was that long. It broke records.
Game. Yeah. So, okay, we got two Torontos and a Boston. I can't believe you took Boston, D. Wow.
Yeah.
The next one we have is the matchup of Florida, Tampa Bay Lightning versus Florida Panthers.
Tampa Bay and Florida. This is a tough one for me. It's a really tough one. I really like, it's going to go seven games. I'm going to go seven games. And honestly, Tampa's defense is so good.
Yeah.
But so is Florida's. Florida's so good defensively too. They're both tough. Physical, you know, Tampa has probably, well, you know, Florida went to the cup final. I'm going to say Tampa in seven.
Ooh.
I'm going to go Tampa in seven for an upset.
I had to look up their head-to-head matchup, and that's who I was going to give it to in seven games.
What's their head-to-head?
Florida won 2-1. So I'm going to take the Panthers in seven.
You know what? I'm doing this for Rod just because I want Rod to go to a whole bunch of playoff games this year. Yeah. Roddy, I got your back. Let's go Panthers.
I like it.
In six, though. I think it'll only be six games. I don't think it's going to go seven.
And then we have the President Trophy winning New York Rangers taking on the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, I hope Alan May's not watching. I'll take the Rangers in four.
Can we ask why you asked if May was watching?
He's a Capitals broadcaster.
Oh, right. Wasn't he just on the show?
He was just on the show.
Yeah.
Today.
I would tend to agree. Washington stumbled and fumbled their way into the playoffs here, and watching the Rangers, my roommate is a huge Rangers fan, so watching the Rangers as much as I have, that team, there's too many similarities to the world and to the team for 1994.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Rangers.
This is the second time you've brought up all this freaking BS conspiracy shit, Jake. Jesus.
It's gotten even worse. It's gotten even worse since we last talked about it.
Oh, God.
O.J. Simpson passed away. What year was his trial?
1994. It was. Wow.
There was an earthquake, like a huge earthquake in New York. There's stats. Start digging into it. There's some sort of weird phenomenon happening in New York, but this time they're going to lose in the Stanley Cup final.
All right.
I'm going to say, sorry, Dom. Yeah, I'm going to stick with it. The Capitals.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I think this is going to be the biggest upset of the playoffs. I got a feeling. I just got that gut feeling. Capitals in seven, though.
Okay.
That would be wild.
Dom will hate me because I put it out in the universe and he'll blame me. So Dom is Jake's roommate, by the way, Darren, and he's a massive Rangers fan.
And he messaged in here. He said he loves the confidence from us, but he thinks Lindgren steals a game or two, Rangers in five or six.
Ooh.
So.
Then he said, how dare.
So then we head over to the Western Conference. Wait, before we do that, who do you have, Darren, coming out of the East, representing the East in the Stanley Cup Final? We're not going to do the whole bracket.
Okay. I have, coming out of the East, the Carolina Hurricanes.
Wow.
This is their year to come out of the East. They've been building for this. They're tested. I love their coach, Rod Brind'Amour. I think the team embodies that. I think they're going to have home ice until they play the Rangers. And that place is wild. What do they call them? The Caniacs. It's going to be awesome. I think
Carolina Caniacs.
Yeah.
What?
Well, yeah, they're a bunch of jerks.
A bunch of jerks.
That is just dumb. I'm not picking them just because they're called the Caniacs. Who are you taking, Jake?
I am going to take the New York Rangers.
I
pump their tires here. There's too many similarities, and
just keeping Pete's in the house.
Wild. No, because the problem is when they make it to the Stanley Cup Final, and it's versus the Canucks. We've already talked. We're going to put like tape dividers through the entire house. He's going to have his half. I'm going to have my half. We don't talk. Luckily, on my half of the kitchen, I have the fridge, but he's got the microwave. So there's going to be some sort of peace treaty there.
That's hilarious. I am going to stick with Roddy. I want Rod to go to all kinds of games.
Okay.
I'm going with the Panthers coming out of the East.
Wow.
Yeah.
Three choices that I can see all three possibilities of happening.
I can too. Yeah.
So now let's head over to the West, and I put together a little lower third for this. It's a mess. We're one day away from the last day of the regular season, and we have one official game set. We have one. That's it. All the other three are up in the air.
Which is Winnipeg and Colorado, isn't it?
Yes. So Colorado Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets are the only locked in Western Conference matchup. And I am very excited for this matchup.
How can you not be? It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a fun one.
The thing we forget about is Colorado has all that championship pedigree still. Yes. Like, we make it seem like it's 10 years removed since they won the cup. It's not. I mean, a lot of pieces are still there, but playoffs, you know, goals are harder to come by. And I think Nathan MacKinnon is fantastic. And I hope he goes on a run and has a lot of fun. And he will. He's a great player, one of the best in the NHL. He's right there with McDavid. But Winnipeg wins in two categories for me. Their bottom six, I think, is really deep and very balanced. So I think they can run four lines against Colorado and really wear them down. And they have a massive, to me, edge in goaltending. So in those two areas, I think are going to be a big difference. And for me, the goaltending is really what tips the scales for me to pick Winnipeg. And I think Winnipeg wins. Not as easy as the regular season's been, but I think they win in six.
Okay, yeah. I completely agree. Connor Hellebuck, if he doesn't win the Vezina, it's because the writers on the, I guess it's by the GMs. So the GMs on the East Coast fell asleep before Winnipeg played their games in the Central Time Zone. But it has to be Winnipeg. I think it's going to go to seven, but I think in that game seven, it's going to be a 1-0, 2-0 sort of game where Hellebuck just has the game of his career to knock out the Avs.
Yeah.
I can't cheer or pick any team from Winnipeg. It's against everything in me. Even though what they might, I have a feeling they're going to get through this series. It's because of the Bombers. The Smurf Mafia just ruined that city for me. So I'm going to take Colorado just out of pure spite and being irrational fan that I am. I have to take Colorado. And I'm going to say in five, just to be different.
Okay.
Sorry, like I'm loading something up here.
Uh-oh. What are you loading now?
Trying to get like the best options for these last three games.
Well, yeah, how do we even pick them? Who plays who?
I mean, I'm pulling up the game. The last I saw...
Is it Vancouver not... are they not going to play either Nashville or Vegas? It's the only two teams they can play?
Yes.
I believe.
And then the Oilers will play Vegas or the Kings. And Dallas will play either Nashville or the Kings or the Predators.
Yeah. Whoever finishes last.
I'm confused now.
Yeah. Welcome to the West. Remember the Western Conference.
It's a mess.
The only team as a Canucks fan that I am concerned about meeting in the first round is LA. And there's a 0% chance that we face them. So I am okay, whether it be Vegas or Predators. It's leaning very highly that's going to be the Predators. And as long as UC Saros doesn't get insanely hot like he can on these runs, I think the Canucks have an okay chance.
I think they got better than an okay chance.
Yeah.
One of the top teams in the National Hockey League. I think Vancouver is in a good spot. I don't want to jinx you guys. But I think Vancouver gets through. And I don't know if you want to pick four teams that get through or if you want to kind of go through some fake matchups that likely will happen, but maybe not. But
let's go through the most likely matchups here according to Dom Lecision's model, which will be Vancouver taking on the Predators.
Vancouver in five.
Ooh.
I'll take Vancouver in six. I think UC can steal a couple.
Okay.
I'm going to
make
five.
You nervous.
I'm going to say five, but I want Darren to understand when we talk playoffs, you ever watch Charlie Brown when he holds the football? That's us with the Canucks. We've been burned. It's like an abusive relationship. It's just every year you're like,
you're talking to a Toronto fan. It's not a lot different. I guess my question is, this has been my issue with adopting the Canucks as my second team. Like if Toronto loses out in seven, as I predict, am I allowed to come and cheer for the Canucks?
Hell yeah.
Because, you know, they went on, was it in the bubble? They went on a run.
Yeah.
They won a series or two, series and then a playoff series. Right.
Yeah.
And they were maybe the last Canadian team standing or one of them. It could have been around the bubble or before. Anyways, I was on the Canucks bandwagon, and I said, and we kind of said on the air, like, the Canucks are Canada's team now. They're the only one left. And Canucks fans says, they're like, no, you're not here all year. We don't want you now. And I'm like, you guys have some healing to do.
We have a lot of healing to do as Canucks fans. But also, there's been a lot of pain as a Canucks fan. So for someone just to come on during the good times, I think that's where Canucks fans, including myself, get our kind of backs up. It's like, no, you don't like us during the regular season. You guys constantly, especially like across Canada, take jabs that, where's your guys' cup? And now all of a sudden you're cheering for us? No. You got to go through some heartbreak with us first.
But you understand that fuels more of the hate during the season.
Oh, yes.
You got to open your doors. Because guess what's going to happen? You're going to welcome all these fans in, and they're going to go through hate with you when you lose in game seven.
And then the worst part is we get all the hate, we get all the heartbreak, and then idiots, I won't even call them fans because they're not freaking hockey fans, tear the town apart. And you're just like, it's bad enough I just lost in game seven.
To have to
I turn the TV off. And I'm starting to, my phone lights up from idiots laughing at us. And I turn the TV back on to see my town being burned to the ground. And I'm just like, heartbreak. Just.
I know.
It's terrible. This is our year, though.
This is it.
This is the one.
So the next most probable matchup is going to be the Edmonton Oilers taking on the Los Angeles Kings. The battle of the Gretzky teams, less New York.
Is the third time they're going to play the Kings now?
I think so.
Is it really?
I want to say the Kings are due. I really like the Kings. I really do. But I can't.
It's boring to watch.
I can't pick against Edmonton. I just can't. I think Edmonton is going to roll through. I think it's going to be. I'll take the Oilers in five.
Yeah.
Although I have this weird feeling that the Kings are due. But
I say just, the Kings in six with this one. I think the 1-3-1, or as I like to call it, the 0-4-1 that they play is good enough to trap McDavid and Dreisaitl and not allow them to get those breaks that they always get. Yeah. And they're disciplined enough to not get burnt on the power play.
I want to know when we stopped calling the trap and started calling it 1-3-1. It's the freaking trap. That's what the trap was. They're playing the trap.
About like 20 years ago.
Apparently. I am with Darren. I think Edmonton has way too much skill. And skill outdoes that 1-3-1. You look what Canucks did to him last game, where we were able to make that first pass. And if you can make that first pass in the neutral zone past the trap, you've won. And I think McDavid, Drysdale, they're going to make him look like children. I was going to say four, but I'll go five.
See, and that's the lack of faith that I have other than Evan Bouchard on defense in Edmonton. Yeah. That they don't have the puck movers that is Hughes and Hronek.
Yeah.
Even Zadorov and Myers, I think, are better puck movers.
Did you see Myers flying down the ice the other night? He looked like a Wayne Gretzky with that shot.
And that would mean the last matchup would be the Battle of the Desert. We got the Dallas Stars taking on the Vegas Golden Noodles.
The Vegas thing, man, it's interesting because, you know, they've been a little better lately, but they really haven't been good. Nope. Most of the year, and even the last half of the year.
But Mark Stone should be available approximately April 20th.
Well, yeah, and you wonder what that does. But, you know, on the one hand, you're going to get all these players back, and you're going to get Stone back, and this team's going to be able to bring in some bodies, and all of a sudden, this looks like a pretty good team again. Like, another Stanley Cup run is in the cards. They need goaltending. Like, Aiden Hill needs to go on a run. He needs to get back to form. Goaltending hasn't been at Stanley Cup levels. But at the same time, can you just flip a switch? Add these guys in and just flip a switch? Like, that's going to be the challenge.
Yes.
And Dallas has just been so consistently good. I think Dallas will win the series in six games.
God. From your mouth to the hockey god's ears, nothing would make me happier.
I completely agree. I think no matter how good a team is, having half of your team, or not half your team, a big part of your team be out and come back, it's going to mess up some chemistry. And I think Dallas, especially with like the way Otter's been playing the last... since the All-Star break, I think he's going to be hard to beat. I think seven for Dallas.
You think it's going to go seven?
I think it's going to go seven.
Yeah, no.
Defending Stanley Cup champions.
Cheaters. As much as I don't like them, you have to respect the fact that they are...
they're cheaters.
The defending Stanley Cup
champions. That's right.
They're cheaters. Let's call a spade a spade. They're cheaters.
They are. But you know who else cheated?
Who?
The Canucks in 2011.
I know. Look what happened.
We didn't get the cup.
That's right. Karma. I'm going to say Dallas in five. Simple. Just because I can't stand them. The long-suffering fans of Vegas. I'll never forget that interview. I wanted to punch him in the face.
Isn't that something?
As a Toronto fan, I'm sure you felt the same way, Darren. Long-suffering fans.
Do not feel bad for the fan base. I do not. No, I never have. Doesn't really bother me that they won, though, either. But no. It's a little bit like, you know, yeah.
It was good for the league.
Isn't that just how it goes, though? Yeah.
Now, I know the answer for me and the old man, because we're slightly irrational and...
No! Don't jinx it!
Now, Darren, who do you have coming out of the West?
I have Dallas coming out of the West. I don't know if I often pick just the top team to come out, but I think the Dallas Stars will come out of the West.
Oh,
I did that.
Don't put him.
Put him in the penalty box.
Okay. I mean, I'll pick the Canucks.
I was waiting for it because I knew he wasn't going to pick the Canucks. Yeah. And I had my finger waiting.
I'm going to take Dallas to come out of the West. I'm not doing anything to jinx the Canucks or the Oilers or the Winnipeg Jets. But, like, man, wouldn't it be something if we're sitting in the second round with Dallas, Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Vancouver? Wouldn't that be something? And then Dallas gets to the Cup when it's three of the four Canadian teams. That would just be, you know.
We need a Canadian team in the Cup.
Yeah.
So I have a conspiracy theory.
Stop
that. That O.J. Simpson put a curse out on Canada. that for the glove, for the glove will not fit. The God said, you know what, Canada, you guys allow this to happen. No,
how did Canada allow this to happen?
Did we manufacture the Ford Bronco? What did we do?
Maybe. I don't know. There's no logic behind this. This is completely an irrational theory.
Darren, this is what I have to put up with on a weekly basis.
I get this, man. And the playoffs haven't even started yet.
And they wonder why my hair goes gray. I thought that was 30 years with this shit.
I thought it was just because you were super old.
Oh, that could be it, too. Obviously, I'm taking Vancouver.
Yes. I, too, am taking Vancouver for a 30-year later rematch of the Vancouver Canucks versus New York Rangers.
Ooh, wouldn't that be something?
With a Canucks winning this time and Dom crying.
Just let that soak in for a couple seconds.
Just take a second. You know how long it's been since we could actually sit here in April and talk about, like, there's a chance for the Canucks?
Well, we talked about there. No, this time last year, we were talking about there's a chance for the Canucks to pick Connor Bedard in the NHL entry draft.
Yes. Yeah.
But it is exciting. It's exciting for Canada. Yeah, it sucks for Calgary. It sucks for Ottawa and Montreal. But it's a really exciting time of year. And these playoffs, man, they're going to be a lot of fun. It's really tough for me to see a fan base and look around the league of these playoff teams and think, man, I really don't care if this team wins. I mean, I feel a little bit of that towards Washington because they just haven't been that good.
Yeah.
On the stretch consistently. I feel a little bit of nothingness towards Colorado for whatever reason. Maybe it's because they just won the Cup. But everybody else, I'm kind of like, you know what? Okay, this is going to be interesting. Like, a lot of great teams.
The only team I don't want to see win the Cup in the playoffs is Vegas.
Yeah,
and me that's too. Just because I don't want to see a back-to-back championship.
Yeah.
And two, the fan base is already insufferable.
Yeah, I'm with you there too. I mean, we don't need to see, you know, it's nice to spread it around, but there's so many teams that you can feel good about if they go on a run. So it'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
Okay, so we've got our picks for both East and West. Darren, who do you have winning the Stanley Cup in 2024?
Let's say it goes seven games because that'll be the most entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take the Carolina Hurricanes in seven games to win.
I think that'd be a super fun matchup, too, Carolina and Dallas.
It would be great. I think it would be awesome. And I think that would mean they'd be on the road in Dallas. I think Dallas would have home ice in that series, I think.
Yeah, because Dallas is first in the West right now, unless they lose.
Yeah.
The Canucks
Oh, yeah.
win. then it throws some loops and things. But
you guys,
I have the Canucks winning, and we can't have it in a non-dramatic way. So in game seven,
yeah,
against the Rangers,
game seven, like five overtime period.
The old man's laying
on the floor with oxygen mask on because he can't freaking breathe. Oh my God, I dream about it, Darren. I dream about it every day.
Wouldn't that be something? You know what? It's as possible as any of these other scenarios right now.
When we say it's possible, it literally is. Like the Canucks have, I got into a discussion with a guy on Facebook today, and he's like, "Oh, the Canucks aren't good as their record shows them." And I'm like, "How can you say that? Like, we literally, from the start of the season to the end of the season, we've been in the top five teams. We are one of the better teams in the league this year. It's simple.
Yeah,
you can come up with all kinds of reasons why that happened. It happened. I mean, Hughes has been playing way above his pay grade. It's phenomenal. Does he win?
It'll be a great question to find. Does he win the award?
Yeah. What is it? The Calder?
No, it's the Norris Trophy.
Norris Trophy.
Calder for rookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Calder.
I'm going to, you know what? I think he will win the award.
If he doesn't, that it's a travesty, because you can look at almost any stat you want, and Quinn Hughes is leading it for defensemen. Points, plus minus, Corsi against, you name it, any stat, Quinn Hughes is winning.
I don't think he cares.
We'll give you your coloring book by color, by numbers, old man.
He comes up with all these stats, and I'm like, where do you get these things?
So, going back to the Canucks aren't as good as their record seems. Friend of the show, Jeff Patterson, broke it down beautifully in the Canucks Army article. He broke the season down into quarters, so 20-game quarters.
Yeah.
Because this was posted before we played game 81 and game 82.
Yeah.
In the first 20 and the fourth 20, we only lost 6 games in regulation. In the middle two 20s, we only lost 5 games in regulation.
That's insane.
And there's reports now that players or people in the organizations of both Vegas, LA, and Nashville are saying, oh yeah, if we got to choose, we'd pick the Canucks.
To play. Right. And I think they worry about, you know, again, the way you play in the regular season, the game changes in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Can you play the same game? You know, that's the big question. You know, Quinn Hughes is a brilliant player. He is so good with the puck. What, you know, he's still a young player. The pressure amps up. You know, where do the mistakes come from? Physically, defensively, right? It's not going to be as easy. The goals aren't going to be. So when you look at the 649 line and some of the skilled players, can they play a little bit more of a heavy game? Those things all change. But at the same time, I think that Rick Tocchet, who again should also be the coach of the year in the National Hockey League and likely has as good a shot as anybody to win that, will be a leader, front runner. I think he'll have them ready to go. But the style changes so much. So you wonder if they can change and play playoff hockey. That'll be a big question. But you're asking them, they haven't won, they haven't lost, what, you said 5 or 6 out of 20?
20.
Yeah.
In regulation. There have been some overtime losses on that.
To lose 4 of 7?
Yeah.
That's going to be a tall ask for teams to try and put 4 behind the Canucks. So I like your odds.
I do. I got goosebumps. I like it.
Well, Darren, I appreciate the time. We've taken enough of it tonight, so I appreciate you jumping on.
It was by fast.
You guys, it always does. All of a sudden, I look down and it's an hour into the show, and I feel like we still had so much to get into. But you guys can check out, if you're listening live right now, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9 a.m. Pacific Time. You can see Darren on the Rod Peterson Show, the RP Show, on Game Plus Network, on YouTube. It's up on the podcast networks afterwards. Is there anywhere else they can listen to the show, Darren?
I guess you can listen to it WQE Radio if you're in Atlanta or online. Yeah, YouTube, the podcast. But Game Plus is the best place to watch it, and we'll chat with you tomorrow morning.
Excellent, Darren. I appreciate the time. And you beautiful people, we appreciate you hanging out with us all season for the Canucks. Starting next week, we're going to be in playoff mode. And we talked about this, and I don't think we ever confirmed it, but screw it. I'm going to confirm it right now with the old man live on the air. Sunday, during the game, we will go live on TikTok.
Oh, no.
During the game.
Have you figured it out?
How about that?
We are going to go live on TikTok during the game. So you guys can have us up on your phone and watch along with us and just watch how irrational we truly are as fans. And I want you guys to know this from the bottom of my heart. We are not going to be putting on any sort of extra dramatics. This is going to be how we watch playoff games. Prepare yourselves. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok at @HSP_pod. Hit that like button. Comment below. And we will see you guys in round one next week. Mwah! And goodbye.
What the heck?